And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. I thank you so much for joining us on this first Saturday in April. Are you kidding me? We've burned through one quarter of 2010 already? Good grief. Now, people will say to me quite often, especially when I'm producing radio programs, because the shows go by so fast, where does the time go? And I tell them Cleveland. I don't know why Cleveland, but I tell them that anyway. And maybe that's where this time is going. It's just flying by. My goodness. And I've got a half century mark I'm screaming towards here soon. And that will be fun because I will feel like 17 when I hit that spot. It'll be fun nonetheless. Well, this is a program that brings you new paradigms for a new world. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We stream live on the internet as well at richarddugan.com. All you have to do is go to richarddugan.com. Boom. On the right-hand side of the page, boom. There is, what am I, that chef? Bam, bam. I'm in a weird mood today. I think I've been working too long, working too hard, or maybe not enough. I don't know. I'm still rolling the dice on that answer. But we're here today to take a look at how a couple rolled the dice in their relationship. Two people on what seem to be similar paths, parallel paths, but divergent viewpoints, if you will, or belief systems. It's rather interesting. Now, we're not going to be talking to the couple, although I'm hoping that we can one day have the two on the program. We're going to be talking to the author of the book, The Priest and the Medium. Suzanne Giesemann is my guest, and Suzanne, I want to welcome you to our program. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, give us a little background on Suzanne Giesemann, because you're not just an author.
No, that's true. I've been a writer for, well, since 96, but my whole first career was as a Navy officer. I spent 20 years in the Navy, retired as a commander several years ago, and so a very linear background, and it surprises people that I'm writing about mediumship these days.
Well, that does seem a little odd, but I mean, it's almost like it's not exactly an opposite turn back the other, it's almost like a right turn, 90 degrees.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
What was the catalyst that sent you off 90 degrees the other direction?
Well, it's an interesting story. On 9/11, September 11, 2001, I was the aide to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So I had a real up-close and personal experience that day, and it showed me that life is just way too short not to live your dreams while you can. So my husband and I sold our house and cars, I retired from the Navy, and we went off sailing into the sunset on our sailboat. And life was truly idyllic until my stepdaughter was tragically killed, struck by lightning. And that sent me searching for answers that first arose on 9/11. Is this life all there is? And if it's not, what lies beyond? But when my Susan died, I was really in need of finding answers. So I went looking for a medium to give me those answers, and my search led me to Anne Gaiman, the subject of the medium in The Priest and the Medium.
Well, now, you're a naval officer, very linear, as we've already concluded, very logical in trying to solve problems, find solutions, et cetera,
right,
et cetera. What was it that made you even think, based upon the aforementioned, that you would go to a medium?
Well, I couldn't see any other way of finding evidence that the spirit survives death. And I have been drawn to metaphysical subjects my whole adult life for some reason, just a magnetic attraction to reading about mediumship and fascination with mediums, and the way my life has turned since Susan's death. I understand that attraction now. This has turned into my path. To speak to others, to write about mediumship, to actually practice mediumship myself now, which is a whole other side of my story. But it wasn't that much of a change for me other than my professional side.
Well, now, we're going to talk off the program about the possibilities of having the couple that you wrote about on the program, because obviously hearing it directly from them is also a very extraordinary story. But we're talking about a former Jesuit priest, which is a part of the Roman Catholic Church, and you're not allowed to marry. And a medium, a woman who's been practicing this for years, and somehow fate or God, the same God they're both searching for and trying to serve and get answers from, throws the two of them together. And with my background in Christian broadcasting, that does not happen. You're talking about gasoline and fire.
It's even more interesting, Richard, because Anne is currently and has been for years the pastor of her own spiritualist church.
Oh.
So have a priest and a spiritualist minister.
Mm.
So how about that combination?
Oh, wow.
And it's actually a love story. It's a true story. It's a biography. The book alternates their lives from age 5, showing how both of them followed a spiritual path their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what ultimately unites them. They recognize their same love of God and their same seeking, and they realize it's the same God, just different paths of getting there. And it's a beautiful message for everybody.
Wow. Wow. That's extraordinary. We're going to talk more about this as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. My guest is Suzanne Giesemann, and you can go to Suzanne. It is theotherreality.com to check out the book, as well as other books that you've written, right?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Theotherreality.com. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay right there.
Have you lost direction in life? Do you constantly worry or give to others but deny your own heart? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and fast forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
The federal government is violating our Constitution on a variety of fronts, taking over private business, recklessly spending our money, demanding greater obedience, contriving to take away the Second Amendment, enslaving more people into the welfare state. Hello, I'm Rooster Bradford, inviting you to join me on Tuesdays at 2 and 10 p.m. and Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Rooster Crows on AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, the program that sounds the wake-up call to the dangers threatening our country.
Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. My guest is Suzanne Giesemann. TheOtherReality.com is the website where you can check out the book, The Priest and the Medium. And we're talking about not just the couple that Suzanne has written about, but we're also talking about Suzanne's own mediumship, if you will. And I was actually clicking around on your website, and I found what was rather intriguing to me. You have an essays page, and basically you have 5 different essays people can go and read, which is sort of a new section. And I love the titles of some of these. Now Hear This, I Talk to Dead People. Now, we have dealt with the subject of transitioning on this program quite a bit over the course of the last 2.5 years. It's one subject that intrigues me to no end. when I hear of individuals who I know who are heading in that direction. And there's a gentleman right now, I'm not going to say who he is, but he is in the process of transitioning. He has a terminal disease, and daily he gets weaker and weaker. I wonder, I don't know why, I just am. It's kind of like you. You don't know why you were drawn to this area, even in your adulthood.
I know now.
What is, okay, well, and we'll talk about that, but what is it that the individual essence or soul experiences at that moment when they're going from here to there, wherever that is? Can you shed any light on it?
Yeah, I personally believe it's simply a shift in consciousness, because at our essence, that's what we are. We are all pure consciousness. So we go into another level, another state of consciousness. And this is what a medium is able to do by altering his or her consciousness, accessing that other reality. And reality is real to whichever level you're in at the time. Some people think that this is the only reality, this one that we sense with our physical senses, but there are other realities that are not physically based, and it's really fascinating when you can access those.
Is it also, again, this is from your perspective and your experience in terms of communicating with people or souls who have transitioned, that we are more likely to experience what it is that we believe is on the other side, as I've heard quite often? Oh, no, whatever you believe, that's what you're going to find on the other side, regardless of your belief system, Muslim, Hindu, Christian, atheist, agnostic, Satanist, et cetera, or if you believe it that there is a hell and you have not done sufficient acts of contrition, that's where you'll be. Or is it totally, totally different and everybody's going to have, in essence, the same experience? We're all going to the same place, i.e. the consciousness will shift to that same area.
I believe that consciousness is creative. It's all about creating, and I think that what you said has a lot of truth in it, although I'm still searching myself for answers. But I do, from what I have read, this is not through experience, but I've read a vast amount on this. It is what we do find initially what we expect to find on the other side.
Interesting, interesting. Well, I'm going to start working on those beliefs of mine, because there's some things that I think are still back in the recesses and the cracks and crevices of my memory that I want to get rid of. Because I don't want to experience those. Those are not real pleasant things to have happen. You also have a medium for my mom. Life goes on even after death. Loving God and follow your heart. Now that one, follow your heart, we press on that almost every program. Well, every program, because the whole point of this program is put the ideas out there. Tell people you are not trapped. You are not stuck. If you believe that you are, that's what you've been told.
That's right.
But the voice inside of you never said that.
That's right. And that particular essay is about a woman who heard me give a presentation on where science and spirituality meet, explaining how mediumship and the afterlife is possible and is being proven by science. She was fascinated, say that made her feel so good to finally believe that an afterlife was possible, and she signed up for a reading with me. And then just before it was time for her reading, she called me and said, I need to be removed from the reading because my church told me I'm not supposed to do that. And I just thought, wow, somebody else is telling her what to believe. And I'm okay with whatever anybody wants to believe. Like that essay says, you have to follow your heart. But I feel that she has some loved ones on the other side that were probably a little disappointed because they were looking forward to talking to her, and because somebody told her what she's allowed to believe, she's missing out on that opportunity.
Well, I sometimes will reminisce in my own mind about the path that I have traveled and the beliefs that have changed. And I guess the best way I was able to put that was, it was, strangely enough, I was having a conversation with one of my sisters who was in a very orthodox Christian religion, and she was challenging my beliefs. And I said, look, my beliefs of yesterday are not my beliefs of today, are not my beliefs of tomorrow, because I'm still experiencing things.
Right.
And it's almost like science does the same thing. I mean, science said, you know, a few centuries back that the Earth was flat. And then science changed its mind.
And I believe that not too far in the future, people will say, instead of, oh, that's one of those weird mediums, they'll say, oh, that's one of those people that can tune into the non-local dimension. You know, it's just a matter of understanding.
Yeah. And I know that we're getting into other realms as well, in science in particular, with the Hadron Super Collider.
Oh, exciting.
And quite honestly, I know that there are those who have great fear over this because they're afraid that it'll create some kind of a black hole, which, of course, everything will be sucked into it. And I'm sitting here going, so what? It'll be a new experience. And it'll certainly change this one, you know. You don't have to worry about, I remember watching Apollo 13 and one of the astronauts, the movie that is, and one of the astronauts said, on camera, I just want to let the IRS know that, well, I'm kind of busy now and I'm going to be late with my returning my, filing my taxes. Well, guess what? We get sucked down into that black hole. You won't have to worry about it.
Well, that's the beauty of mediumship. But even my 82-year-old mother looked at me and said, I no longer am afraid of dying. Because you realize that death is just a transition. I learned this from Ann Gaiman when researching The Priest and the Medium, that if you know that life is eternal, it takes the fear away, and you just actually become kind of fascinated and wonder, well, what's it going to be like?
Well, now, you have written a few other books as well. I mean, obviously, Priest and the Medium is, it's an extraordinary story of two souls that have come together from different perspectives. Again, similar paths, same, if you will, same goal, if you will. But you've written a few other books as well, in addition to the writings that you have up on your website.
Yeah. My first book is called Conquer Your Cravings. It's now out in the new second edition, and that is how to stop struggling with the emotional overeating, and it applies to any addiction. So I wrote that book hoping to help other people, and the first person that read it said, this book changed my life. So that's what showed me that being an author can really make a difference. My second book, Living a Dream, that's my story of my experiences being aide to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs on 9/11 and that transition to just sailing off into the sunset and the big adjustment that was.
And then you have a third book, which is It's Your Boat Too.
Right. After sailing off into the sunset, I realized how many women are limiting themselves by just being a passenger on their boat instead of a full partner with their husbands. They take care of things in the galley and they sit back, but it's just so much more fun when you get fully involved and take on the same tasks as the husband. So, hey, ladies, it's your boat too. That's my rah-rah book for the boating market.
I like all three of those. That's great. What about this one I see here, Message of Hope?
Well, that's actually just a booklet that we're now distributing free as a part of a foundation I set up in my stepdaughter's memory. Another aspect of my mediumship that was totally unexpected is last July, while meditating, something I do every day, I had tried automatic writing or inspired writing, where you write down the words or thoughts that come to you in meditation, and I kept saying, well, I'm just making this up. They're beautiful words, but I'm making this up, until one day I realized the words were rhyming, and
oh, wow.
I realized the brilliance of the spirit world. They knew that I would never believe I wasn't making it up until they gave me a form of writing that I certainly never did before, and that's poetry. I've never enjoyed poetry, and since that day, a spirit-inspired poem has come through to me every day, and there are over 250 poems now on my website, and we took some of the best ones, put them to some nice pictures, and we distribute them to people that are in need of comfort, because the message is always loving, always wise, always about oneness and how we can feel more of that oneness. And it's just an awesome experience every day to close my eyes and have these poems come to me in 3 to 5 minutes, just writing nonstop with my eyes closed. It's awesome.
Now, as one who is able to communicate with those who have passed on to the other side, have you on a regular basis been able to connect with your daughter?
Not a regular basis, 2 times. Now, I've only been a practicing medium for 1 year. I only discovered my abilities while writing Anne's book and a subsequent book about another medium, and went to England to study mediumship, evidential mediumship. And it's funny, I told you I set up that foundation in Susan's memory, and we wrote our first check to a charity that she would have loved, and the very next day in meditation, for the first time, I felt her presence, heard her voice, And having practiced evidential mediumship, I knew that going to my husband and saying, "Sweetheart, Susan was here, and she said thanks for the check," would not convince him. So I said to her in my mind, "Susan, give me some real evidence that you are here with me now." And she literally said to me, "Write this down." And she gave me three totally off-the-wall pieces of evidence for her mother, things about her biological mother that I could not possibly have known. Number one, her cat is sick. Number two, she has Christmas lights up inside her house year-round. And she gave me another one that was pretty bizarre. And I called my husband's ex-wife, and everything Susan gave me was true. And that's what I mean by evidence. I couldn't make that up.
Wow.
It's awesome.
Now,
she also came to me on Valentine's Day. She said, "Give Dad a hug for me." And I said, "I sure will, but you have to give me some more evidence." So they believed me. And she said, "Well, my mom isn't feeling well. She has something wrong with her stomach." So I called his ex-wife. She didn't sound good when she answered the phone. I said, "What's the matter?" And she said, "Oh, I just had surgery on my stomach." So
wow.
This is what I love about this ability, is that it brings comfort to people when you can say, "Hey, here's evidence. I can't make this up. Your loved one is around."
Now, you've made the statement twice now that you have communicated with your husband's ex-wife. That seems... No. I understand that.
Yeah.
That I do get. But it's interesting that you're communicating with his ex-wife. Has that relationship always been there, or is that developed? How did that come about? Because it's a little unusual, at least in this country's day and age of marriage and divorce, that you just don't do that.
It was exactly as you would have expected that relationship would be until Susan passed. And when I had a reading with Ann Gaiman and with subsequent mediums, Susan came through so incredibly evidential. It took away all doubt that her spirit was not still around. And so, of course, the first person I shared that with beyond my husband was her mother, because that's what it's all about, comfort. She found such comfort in the evidence from Susan that I have, now that I'm practicing mediumship, anytime anything comes up from Susan, I pass it to her, and she now says that she understands now why I came into the picture. It's kind of, wow, takes your breath away.
Now, what about your family, his family, and the reaction to your going in this direction, having retired from the military?
All people who know me are very surprised, as am I. I never expected this. You have no idea how hard it is still for me to say to people from my background, "I'm a medium." There's a stuck point in me that has trouble saying that. It took me so long to put it on my website up at the top where it says author, speaker. It hasn't said medium for a long time because I had to get over that internal resistance to that, but I can no longer deny that that's what I am from all of the evidence that I get. I've done 68 readings so far, and every one of them, this just blows me away. The spirits coming through and the things they're telling me. And so those who know me who would never have believed in mediumship, they say it's because of that linear Navy background of mine that they believe, because they know me. And I'm not going to make things up. I'm not going to lie. And I'm a pretty rational person.
Absolutely. If you've just joined us, my guest is Suzanne Giesemann, and we're talking about, of course, her life and her mediumship coming out of, now it was the Navy, is that correct?
That's correct. 20 years a Navy commander.
Yeah. 20 years in the Navy. But you've also been writing a number of books, and the one we're kind of focusing on today, we're going to talk more about that in just a moment, is called The Priest and the Medium, and it's about a couple, a former Jesuit priest and a psychic who is actually now a minister, if you will, or pastor of her own spiritualist church. So you have a former Jesuit priest and a current reverend of a spiritualist church who have come together in an extraordinary story that you can read in The Priest and the Medium. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and we're here giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We're here on this day talking about extraordinary unions, if you will. Suzanne, I'm curious as to how you found her or she found you in terms of the creation and subsequent publishing of the book, The Priest and the Medium.
Well, I always advise everybody, just as I've done for years and years, when you have any question, ask for guidance as if in a prayer to whoever, whatever your God is, your guides, whatever. So when my stepdaughter died, I went to a bookstore and I wanted books on the afterlife, and I asked my guide, what is the right book for me to read? And I found this book. I just kind of reached out to the shelf, and my hand landed on this book, and in it was a story of five top mediums who were picked by a psychologist and psychiatrist to do after-death experiments. It was the Afterlife Experiments is the name of the book. And Anne Gaiman was one of the mediums in that book. And I Googled all five of those in the book, and I was fascinated by Anne because she was the only one without a flashy website. She didn't charge an arm and a leg. She was the pastor of this little church in Northern Virginia, and my gosh, it was 5 miles from the house we moved back to after Susan died. It was kind of coincidental, but I no longer believe in coincidences. And I was so fascinated by Anne's story. I attended her class that she offers and still offers on the philosophy of spiritualism, which is the belief that life is eternal and that you can communicate with those who have passed to the other side. And I told Anne, after receiving evidence that my stepdaughter was still around in spirit, that I wanted to write a book about spiritualism and mediumship, and instead she agreed to allow me to tell her life story. So I actually got to do both things at once, talk about mediumship, but tell this fascinating story that reads like a novel about Anne's life and her incredibly unusual marriage to a former Jesuit priest who is currently a professor of literature at Georgetown University.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's and when you began to well, tell me the process of compiling the information so that you could put it down. I mean, do you consider yourself the ghostwriter of this story? How does that play?
No, I'm just a biographer in this case.
Okay.
I wrote the book. It's my name on the cover. I told their story.
Okay.
And I went to the spiritualist community of Lilydale, New York. There's going to be an HBO special in June or July, and Anne is in that special. Lilydale is just a summer community where mediums gather. And I went there, and she and Wayne own a house there, so I was lucky enough to be taken into their home for a week and even slept in their guest room and just walked around with a tape recorder for a week and compiled all that, transcribed every word of it, organized it, and then went back to them every time I needed more interviews. They're a wonderful, loving couple, and I hope I've done a good job of capturing that in the book, the love, and people feel like they know them when it's done. It's one of those books that when you're finished, you don't want it to end because you've made new friends.
Do you see that there's something more coming out of this? Like, my perspective at this point, what I see is not necessarily a major motion picture on the big screen or even a television made for movie TV. There's a way to say that, but more like maybe one of the Hallmark type of programs that because of the touching story, the connection that these two have.
It would certainly make a good one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there, and the book is just peppered with wonderful anecdotes and stories about Anne's abilities and Wayne's drive and passion to achieve his goal in life, so it's just a story about achievement and overcoming adversity. There's human emotion in it, so it's not just a book about mediumship. It's about human nature.
I remember years ago I read a book by an author, a German author. The book was written back in 1933 by Johannes Graeber, and he was a Catholic priest. But he began to experience, now I'm going to be redundant here, he had the experience of channeling. The irony was the information he was channeling was not real complimentary to the church. Now, this was 1933, but he continued forward, and people like him, people like Edgar Casey and others.
I was just going to bring up Casey, same story.
Yeah, they initially, and I'm curious as to if he, the Jesuit priest here, if he fought all of this at first, saying, oh, no, I can't go that way. That is contrary to what I have been taught and what I believe.
Well, it's very interesting, and we're able to bring that through in the book. Wayne is still a Catholic at heart, but he calls himself an expanded Catholic because of his association with Anne. He loves the Catholic Church. It's a very dramatic part in the book where he had to give up his priesthood. It tore him apart, but he really needed companionship, the love of a woman, a loving relationship. It really wasn't just about sexual relations, as you find when you read the book. He felt that void in his life, but it was heart-wrenching for him. He said if they allowed married priests, he would still be a priest to this day. But it does not. This is the wonderful thing about spiritualism. It really doesn't conflict with any religion. It adds to it. It adds to it.
Yeah. Well, the priest in the medium basically tells the amazing story of the psychic medium. Is it B.N. Gaiman?
Gaiman.
Yes. And then, of course, her husband, the former Jesuit priest, Wayne Knoll, Ph.D., two soulmates, on parallel paths with divergent beliefs, yet united in their love for God as well as each other. The book, again, The Priest and the Medium. And, again, I'm hoping that maybe we can arrange somewhere down the road to have the two of them on the program to tell their story directly.
I know they would love to. They'd
yeah.
love to.
Yeah. The whole aspect of finding the right person, and I'm not talking necessarily whether you're talking about using eHarmony, rolling the dice, going to bars, but I'm talking about finding somebody who is, and my wife and I like to use the phrase, who is like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're your soulmate, because I'm not even certain of what that really means, per se.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all I know is of my attraction and my connection with my present wife, but I had similar like-mindedness with my first wife.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a pattern there. So obviously, you know, if it's somebody that likes to jump around and go here and there and everywhere, you know, that's not necessarily for me. These are the kinds of conversations in terms of dealing with whether it's transitioning or trying to find answers to our questions that this program really comes from, and that we're trying to help others as well. Do you have a thriving practice, a practice of any kind? Do people just come to you via the website and say, hey, I'd like a reading? How does that work for you?
Well, I'm like I said, I've only been doing this for a year, and it's not a full-time thing for me. I only do a few readings a week. And I'm actually have a long waiting list. I prefer to do them in person because that's what it's about for me, is the connection. So I'm not a full-time medium. I really am working on another book right now. So it's something that I do when it's the right connection, when somebody comes to me and says, I need to sit with you, and we do that.
Now, you say you do it, you prefer to do it in person.
I've done a few on the phone and just did not like it at all. Like, it just wasn't the same energy.
Well, and now you know how I feel about phone interviews on the program.
I do know.
I will always interview folks over the phone, but as you know from your experiences, the energy is so much different.
Yeah.
The connection is so much different in that regard. You and your husband literally sailed off into the sunset after you retired from the Navy.
Yes,
and
we sailed across the Atlantic Ocean. Cool.
Yeah, and I have to say that was before we started hearing all of the stories about piracy on the open seas.
Right.
Did you folks, was there any reservation at all about doing that, even just being concerned about your safety in terms of maybe getting hit by other ships that might not see you, or something happening to your boat, or perfect storm kind of scenario, et cetera, et cetera? Or was there that just total, no, this is what we need to be doing?
Well, no, here's where you get back to that linear Navy background. My husband was 26 years a Navy destroyer captain, and I have the 20 years in the Navy. So we planned very well and planned for every contingency, and there are some things you can't predict, but you can be prepared for them. So we were about as prepared as any couple could be, with the life raft and the emergency positioning beacon in case we needed it. And then you plan the right time of year to go. So believe me, if any couple ever planned something out well, we certainly did. And so we had a relatively benign crossing. And if anything, it was more tedious than exciting. And that's just the way I would want it to be.
I can appreciate that. Yes.
Yeah.
For some reason, I keep thinking that we've been crossing the Atlantic back and forth so many times for the centuries. Why no one has strung a cable so that you can just, you know, a zip cord and pull you across back and forth, and it's uneventful and so much easier. You, again, you've only been giving readings to folks for the year, but obviously you've been researching. What are there particular areas of the spiritual life, spiritual world, metaphysics, if I can use the broader term, that intrigue you, say, more than others?
It's just exactly what I'm doing right now, is the ability to sense the presence of loved ones when they are, and bring them in close, feel their energy, and get their messages that they really, really want to get across to us. I had one woman sit with me, and I brought through her mother and father, and at the end of the reading, discovered that she had lost her husband that year, and I was just, I don't want to say devastated, but really disappointed that I hadn't sensed him at all. I couldn't explain why, but I couldn't tune into him. Now, once I found out she lost her husband, could not tune into him. Well, 2 weeks later, in the middle of the night, that spirit woke me up. I somehow knew who it was, and I said, look, you're going to wake me up in the middle of the night? You better give me something good. And so he literally, I fumbled around in my nightstand so I wouldn't wake my husband up, pulled out a piece of paper and a pen, and he gave me 8 things so evidential I just knew he was there. And I called his wife in the morning. I said, your husband visited me in the middle of the night, and here's what he told me. And for example, he told me about a necklace that she keeps fingering, and she confirmed it's the necklace I gave him when we were married. I've been wearing it since he died, and I'm fingering it right now as you're talking to me on the phone.
Wow.
And the list went on with 8 really evidential things, but the reason he woke me up is he said, I hear her when she talks to me. I hear her. Let her know. And this is a message I tell everyone, even if you've never been to a medium. If you have lost someone, talk to them, even if it's just in your thoughts, because they do hear you. They are around. And we should not dismiss any feelings that we have that, oh, I felt my mother, I felt my husband, whatever. Honor that, because they're around.
Question that comes from watching too much television. Are the people, I keep saying people, are the souls that you communicate with pre or post the light?
That's an interesting question. I have only heard from, my last reading I gave, this for the first time ever, this woman actually, in spirit, suddenly enveloped me in light, and I said to the woman sitting with me, she's showing me what it was like when she transitioned. So from that and from reading about near-death experiences, I believe there is a light that draws us to that next stage of consciousness. So I would have to say post the light, but it's just a different level of consciousness, and I believe it's just far more loving than we experience.
You're familiar, yeah. You're familiar with that television program, The Ghost Whisperer, and she's dealing with entities who haven't crossed over or into the light. So I'm wondering, and you've answered the question, yes, but what is the difference between transitioning from this life, physical world that you and I are in right now, to that other realm versus transitioning from that other realm to and through the light?
Richard, you're going to find this unusual, but I don't watch TV.
I don't find that unusual at all.
And so I don't know the show, and so the concept you're discussing is foreign to me.
Okay.
I feel that when you transition, when you die, you're in another reality, perhaps similar to the dream state in that you create with your thoughts. But as for a transitory stage, I'm not familiar with that.
So when someone transitions from this life, they're going to the light at that point?
Not
to get too overly linear here and anal. But then again, there are people on this side that are asking these kinds of questions. They want to know.
Sure.
They want as much detail as is possible. Mm-hmm. And for some, like the woman who read your book, it's the only way that they're going to not be afraid to
mm-hmm.
die.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the only way we're ever going to really find out for sure is
when it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was interviewing a woman a few years back, and she was sharing a story about a 94-year-old woman who she was attending. Then the woman was healthy. She wasn't terminal or anything. And the woman turned to her one day and said, I'm done. There's nothing else here I want to do. I want to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And yet our civilization, our society says, no, you have to stay here until you die naturally.
Right, right.
But I found that statement from that woman, 94-year-old woman, rather intriguing. If I want to change jobs right now, I can do that. If I want to change relationships, if I want to change living arrangements, the food I eat, et cetera, if I want to stop watching TV, like you, I can do that too. But I'm not allowed to leave this world without shame and guilt.
Well, we are here, I believe, to learn certain lessons, and that woman's attitude is certainly healthy, but we shouldn't want to leave before our destiny, or if you want to call it that, is
right.
Complete here.
How can we, and then the other thing, too, is how can you be sure you're finished here?
Yeah.
How can you truly be sure that you have, maybe there's still one more person you're supposed to touch?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love the way you put that, too, because that's really what it's all about, is touching others, helping others.
How many folks in the year, in this past year, have you had the opportunity to share readings with?
I've done 68 readings, which may not sound like a lot, but it sure is a lot to me, because considering I never thought I would be doing this.
Right.
Yeah.
And has there been anything extraordinary or unusual, as you look at the 68, of any one or two of them that really sets them apart? That you just flat out were not expecting, or maybe even kind of put a little chill in you.
Yes, yes. This one woman's two, the mother, her adoptive mother and that woman's sister came through, and they were just horrible. I felt, I mean, sometimes you feel love, sometimes you feel remorse from the other side, but these two were just unloving and just negative, and I talked about how I felt that in her childhood there was a lot of screaming and probably some hitting. She confirmed all of that, and I said, your house must have felt like a dungeon, because that's what they're showing me. And she said, yeah, it was a dungeon. And I said, these two, they're telling me that they were known as the evil twins. And she said, that's exactly what people called them. So that's the kind of evidence that's coming through for me. And I could never figure out why these women came through, because they didn't come with an apology. They didn't come to show her any love. And I finally had to go to my mentor, my teacher, and say, why would these two spirits show up? And she said, Suzanne, what is the point of mediumship? It's not to amaze people. It's not to wow people. It's to prove the continuity of life, that life is eternal. By bringing through this evidence and the exact wording, the evil twins, and the way these women were, boy, I proved to that woman sitting with me that life goes on, and hopefully she doesn't run into those two again on the other side. But another real quick,
yes,
one
yes.
woman came, and then she sent me her sister a month after that, and another sister 2 months after that, without telling me they were her sisters. And all three times I brought through the same mother and father with the same personalities, a few different bits of evidence about each one of them. But when you compare the transcripts, very obviously the same spirits. So that was a gift to me to show that what I'm bringing through is real.
Now, we've had on one woman who actually channeled the essence of what the name was given, Equinox. A couple years back, she actually went into the unconscious state. What is the process that you go into to begin the information stage of the session?
It's a very simple process of getting into a meditative state. If you were to measure the brain waves, they'd probably be in the alpha state. Beta is normal walking around mode. So it's slow. I try to slow my brain waves down just by getting meditative. And then I literally envision my energy as just filling the room and beyond, expanding it. I, with my thoughts, invite the spirit energy to blend with mine so that I can sense it, and then I sit back and try not to think, and that's the hard part. I just become receptive and wait, and then they just put thoughts, images, feelings into my mind, and I just report out to the person sitting with me what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling. I have to stay passive, receptive, and as loving as possible, because that's how you raise your personal energy, with love.
So you would be considered then more, and correct me if I'm using the wrong terms here, more of a conscious channel.
Mediumship is different than channeling.
Okay.
Mediumship is actually a back and forth, interactive, communicating with the spirit, with the soul, and with the person sitting with you. I actually have been doing channeling for the last 3 months. That's an even deeper state, another altered state, where I probably enter the theta brainwave state, a little slower brainwaves. I withdraw more. I surrender. When I become aware of the presence, I get lightheaded, and I just speak the thoughts that are in my mind. Mind-to-mind speaking what's coming through me and not interacting with those that are around me, just speaking. That's channeling.
And do you record these sessions?
Yes.
Do you use, and as, again, you've only been doing it for 3 months, mm-hmm. Have you noticed yourself using other voices, or is it strictly your voice?
It's one. I have two guides in particular, and one comes through with a Slavic accent. And that night that woman's husband came to me, that same guide with the Slavic accent came through, and he was speaking in Russian. And now, I studied Russian 28 years ago, and I remember some of it, but I wrote down in the dark several things in Russian that I couldn't even remember, and my husband had to look them up, and they were words that I didn't even know.
Mm.
So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really didn't believe that, again, the Navy background, the linear background, I'm saying, well, I'm making this up, until that guide correctly diagnosed the medical problem of a woman that was sitting across from me and gave her some advice about it. So, wow.
Yeah. That's about all you can say anymore. Wow.
Yeah, really.
You're listening to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. My guest is Suzanne Giesemann, and her book, the present book, we're talking about, The Priest and the Medium. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We'll be right back.
Are you sad or angry about past events in your life? Would you like more joy, love, and peace? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
July got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Yes, very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the greatest thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
Okay, it's time to play Name That Restaurant. Here are the clues. This mystery restaurant is located in Santa Barbara.
Well, that narrows it down to about 550.
This restaurant has indoor and outdoor seating.
Oh, now you're talking. There are only a couple of hundred restaurants that have outdoor seating.
Give up?
No, I'm looking at nippers.com. There are menus, recipes, the forum, restaurant news, and over 200 restaurant reviews written by professional food journalists.
Check out nippers.com, always serving up all the right answers about Santa Barbara restaurants.
If we empties out as you go. Oh, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your story.
New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we are here talking with Suzanne Giesemann, author of The Priest and the Medium. And Suzanne, as we wrap up the last 4.5 minutes or 4 minutes of our program, just a couple of final questions. You know, you've shed a great deal of light. I appreciate the differentiations that you've made between a medium and a channel. Would you also have some kind of a separation between that and a psychic, or would medium slash psychic be kind of along the same lines?
Well, most people would tell you that a medium is psychic. Psychic is more of reading the energy of the person that's sitting with you and telling them about potential futures for them, whereas mediumship is purely communicating with those who have crossed to the other side.
Question for
it's
you.
It's all attunement to energy. It's all about tuning into different vibrations which we can't perceive with our physical senses.
Okay. A question regarding information that you have received over the year plus of mediumship and the 3 months of channeling. Have you received information that is supposed to answer some of the age-old questions that man has been asking, i.e., where am I from? Where am I going? Why am I here? Who is God? Etc., etc.
I sure have. And Richard, you know, I talked about those spirit-inspired poems, 256 of them, and the answers are a lot of them are right in those poems.
Message of hope.
Messages of hope. You go to theotherreality.com and click on poetry, and there they are.
Well, and of course, you've had an illustrious naval career, especially during some rather tumultuous times. You could be doing a lot of other things. Why this? Why now?
I told you that I felt drawn to mediumship my whole life, and I understand now that it was all leading up to this. This is my path now. It's to help others. I'm getting cards from people about what a difference I'm making in their lives. The comfort that bringing back their loved ones to them is bringing them. And I think that my linear Navy career background served a tremendous purpose in giving me credibility now for people who would never trust the medium. They trust me, and it's wonderful because this is an awesome message to get across to people that this life is not all there is, that what we do now really does matter, that our loved ones are not gone forever. We will see them again. And so that's my mission right now.
And that we should continue talking to them.
Absolutely.
Suzanne Giesemann, I want to thank you so much for sharing this hour with us here on Tell Me Your Story, for sharing the story of the priest and the medium, which is available at theotherreality.com. We are also linked to your website where people can check out that book and the other books you've written, as well as the book of poetry, Messages of Hope. And again, it's just been an extraordinary pleasure. It sounds like, as you mentioned, you are working on another book, and we'd love to have you back on when that one comes out.
Great. Thanks so much. It was just a wonderful time with you.
Great. Well, stay on the line. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, as we wrap up yet another program. One of these days I'll go through and count how many we've done. All I know is we've been doing 2.5 years, heading for September 2010. It'll be 3 years, and quite an extraordinary time that we've had in terms of the people that we've visited with, stories that we've shared. And I mean, we've been to Spain and to Ireland as far as taking calls and interviewing people from those locales, as well as across the country. And it's just been great fun from different perspectives as well, talking about the fifth dimension and the God code and on and on and on. And we certainly hope to continue doing that and bringing this information to you as we continue moving forward in this particular linear time. Until next Saturday at the same time, which will be from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, I'm Richard Dugan, your host for Tell Me Your Story. We'll continue to bring you new paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next Saturday at this same time, I am Richard Dugan, your host. Love to Lal.